This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
This morning I'm not preaching, but a good friend of mine will be. Vanner, thank you for coming all the way from Secunda. It's great to have you here with us. I know you as a man that loves God passionately and always think outside of the box, have such a way to present the gospel in love and to impact people around you. It's always great to have you and to be around you. For those that watch Survivor, you might recognize him. He was famous, called many things. What was it? The Mafia Boss, the Kingpin, and many other things. Cult leader. Yes, snake. Was it snake at one stage? They called you even a snake. He really lived and played the game in such a way that it even brought honor to God's name. And we want to thank you for that. That's his life and everything that he does. He's not here because of Survivor. He's here because of the Savior. And that's why we have Vanner with us. So we are grateful to have you with us. Thank you, Vanner. And we trust the Lord will speak to you. May God bless you.
Thanks, Andres. How's it, everyone? It is incredible to be here this morning. What I love about coming here on December is you see people that you don't normally see through the year. And my faith journey almost comes together yearly in this building. I was a lifesaver here when I was in high school, and I was seeking for God. And at the end of high school, I met my Savior, Jesus Christ. And many people that's here today, that's been coming here through the years, I met in Shofar Stellenbosch. And there's nothing as incredible to see those people 15 years later still taking the effort, getting some of them with a lot of children, bringing the family here to worship Jesus. That's humbling. And I just want to thank God for the church of God all around the world. And I want to thank him for this congregation. Andres and Lisa, you guys are a blessing. Can we give him a clap? I know he doesn't like it. But yeah, to everyone that's also been a part of my journey, yeah, God bless you. And I just feel like a small piece of a puzzle. I'm not the most important person here this morning. We all know Jesus is. But you know what? He uses broken vessels. Amen? Here's a picture of my family, my wife, Junae, and my two lovely children. The next one, no, that's not a picture of him. I've got two cupcakes. The one is vanilla and the one is chocolate. And they both taste very good. I'm not going to be talking a lot about Survivor. Just put one or two images on there because some people maybe relate to this. That's just a picture from Survivor. Challenges like this at certain times would last 3 hours. And on television, you get 6 minutes because, I mean, they need to fit 3 days into 45 minutes. Sometimes with the wind and stuff, you'll just be there and you think, can anyone actually do this? And you carry on, and then at some stage someone wins. There's just another picture. If you, after Survivor, I went on a little bit of a Shofar road trip where I spoke about how the gospel relates and contrasts to Survivor. And if you want to get hold of that, in the September archives of Stellenbosch and East London, you can get sermons there if you want to hear more about this. But that's not what I will be focusing on today. If that's okay, it's awesome to be here. Great, let's pray. So Lord, as we lift our voices this morning, I just again realized the simple thing that we are here for you. If we wanted to be gathered with a lot of people, we can just go to full clip. But we are here for you. And this morning, as we just look at your word and extract your heart from it, I pray that you will impact each one of us so that we leave this place different. Because we worship a living God that speaks to people. We are not here to go through the motions. We are not here to play church. We're here to look into the face of our Savior. And we worship you, Lord. And we welcome you in this place. Amen. I've got some mints to eat here. I don't know what you have. But just a question before I start. If you had to be locked up in one place for a week, okay, and it has to be Debonairs or McDonald's, where would you be locked up? Just turn to the person next to you and make a decision. McDonald's or Debonairs. And then we'll have a vote and we'll see. Okay, who says McDonald's? Who says Debonairs? Okay, Debonairs, just leave your hand up. Debonairs, you guys win by far. But leave your hand up. Do you know that there's no dessert or coffee in Debonairs? Iman says sly. Obviously, the answer is McDonald's. That has nothing to do with this sermon. I don't know why we just did that. Just turn to the person next to you and say, "Vakansie is lekker. Holiday is amazing." The work of Jesus in my deliverance. Or the work of Jesus on my journey of becoming free in Him. That's what we're going to look at this morning. It's not a New Year's message. It's just a message that I hope will impact us as we go into the new year. Mark chapter 5 verse 1. Let's read together. You can follow on the screen. It's quite a few verses. Sit back, breathe, and enjoy this incredible story. Just before we engage with verse 1 there, what happens before that is Jesus tells his disciples, let's go on a boat to the other side, to the Gerasenes. And that's where a massive storm hits them. And we get the account of Jesus sleeping in the boat. And of course, he calms the storm and we head into this account right here. They came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gerasenes. And when Jesus had stepped out of the boat, immediately there met him a man out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit. He lived among the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been bound with shackles and chains, but he wrenched the chains apart and broke the shackles in pieces. No one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day, among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always crying out and cutting himself with stones. We don't get this in the Kiddies Bible. Also not the part where David chops off Goliath's head. Okay. Each audience, scripture appropriate. Amen. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and fell down before him. And crying out with a loud voice, he said, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God, do not torment me." For he was saying to him, "Come out of a man, you unclean spirit." And what we have here is a triangular conversation. When Jesus speaks to the man, we know it's Jesus. When the man speaks, we're unsure who's speaking. Is it the man or is it an evil spirit? It's quite an interesting story here. It goes on. And Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" And he replied, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Now, if you say this to your doctor, you're not going back home. All right? It's a fascinating story. We shouldn't read over these things too fast. And he begged him earnestly not to send them out of the country. Now, a great herd of pigs was feeding on the hillside, and they begged him, saying, "Send us to the pigs. Let us enter him." This is coming through one man, this voice. It's incredible. So he gave them permission, and the unclean spirits came out and entered the pigs, and the herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down the steep bank into the sea and drowned in the sea. The herdsmen fled and told it in the city and in the country, and the people came to see what it was that had happened. And they came to Jesus and saw the demon-possessed man, the one who had the legion, sitting there, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And those who had seen it described to them what had happened to the demon-possessed man and to the pigs. And they begged Jesus, they began to beg Jesus to depart from their region. As he was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed with demons begged him that he might be with him. And he did not permit him. Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." And he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. And everyone marveled. Fascinating story. As I was studying this, I just realized again, if you want to keep church real, a church community, you have to engage with things such as this that relates to our sinfulness and the fact that we often need to repent or to realize there's realities out there that can influence us if we don't walk with God. And it makes church dirty because now people need to repent of sins and stuff. But if we exclude it, it's so easy, or church becomes a fantastic gathering of civilized people with great coffee. A place where the businessmen of the town come together and they give polite smiles and they go home. But let not someone scream in church. Let not someone come in that's a little bit different, or maybe they stink, because that takes away from this incredible experience, this fraternity of great people that's meeting on a Sunday. And so for me, it's important, wherever we are in church, that we engage with the reality that we are actually this man. We think we're one of the disciples going with Christ, but we're the man. Funny, we don't hear about the disciples because they're probably hiding behind the rocks as the man came down, because he wasn't looking great. I mean, he cut himself. Looked like something out of a Steven Spielberg movie. Okay? We are that man, and church is not supposed to be clean and neat. Are you with me? So let's engage this morning. One thing before I head into this, I'm going to go back to the scripture and land on six things the cross of Christ points to in this passage. But let's quickly talk about the pigs, because people will always ask, what about the pigs? What's the story about these pigs? Now, I cannot give the correct answer in every word with all the revelation there is, because it's just not possible. But we can hold on to what we know and what we can see. And so I will offer at least two things that maybe will help you deal with this whole pig situation. The first thing is this. 2,000 pigs, it's a great deal of the economy of a small town. Who's the farmers here? You don't kill animals. It's ching, walking around, right? It's all right. It's meat, it's money. And I think one thing at least we can see from this definitely is that one human life is more important than the economy of a town. Are you with me? Or one human life is more important than the lives of animals. Okay? So, if, for example, the greatest, most influential leaders in this town devotes themselves to the saving of dogs and cats, we're in trouble. because human lives are more important. Can we agree on that? Right. Watching the news the other night, last bit of the news, people are saving a dog from the ice. Who saw that? I was happy. I don't like dogs to die. Okay, I love animals. I have one, a Great Dane. But just a few days earlier, two kids are shot, 3 and 6 years old. But we see the dogs being rescued. Now, just hear my heart. Humans are more important than animals. Amen. On the other side, this man has been among the tombs. He doesn't know who he is. I don't know if he knows when he's speaking or where the demons are speaking. A man comes from over the sea, shares the gospel with him, sets him free, and then Jesus leaves again. One thing this man will know and remember for the rest of his life, whenever he doubts whether something changed in his life, he will remember this. The day when the man touched me, whatever was in me came out of me. And it entered those pigs, 2,000. And what was in me caused them to run into the ocean and drown. I surely am different. I have changed. And so those are two things I hold on to when I see this. And I just wanted to mention, because it is quite an interesting thing just to read over. Can we go on from there? Awesome. Let's go on. Great. On that day, I'm just reversing just before chapter 5. On that day, when evening had come, Jesus said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." The storm comes. He quiets the storm. He gets out of a boat, just to see the order here. And when Jesus stepped out of a boat, immediately he met the man, right? He met the man. When he was done dealing with a man, when Jesus had crossed again the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered about him. He came across the ocean, met one man living among the tombs, a Gentile. This is the first missionary we see in Scripture, a Gentile missionary. That's a biggie. Comes over the ocean, meets the man, deals with him, steps back into the boat, goes back. One man. One man. And so the first thing we can see from Scripture is don't underestimate, number one, if you've got your notebook here, God's commitment to get to you. Don't underestimate what God is willing and able to do, what He's able to cross to meet you where you're at. In John chapter 1, we see in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's Jesus. He was with God. He had His dwelling with the angels. And then Scripture says in verse 14, but the Word became flesh and dwelled among us. Not only did He dwell in great company, crossed an ocean to the tombs, find one man. God is not indifferent to you. And when I say He will cross many barriers to reach to you, we're not talking about geographical space. We're talking about the mountains and the oceans in your heart that has created distance between you and Him. He's not too far. Amen. Let's go on. And when Jesus has stepped out of a boat, we're dissecting this piece of Scripture. Immediately they met Him, a man out of the tombs with an unclean spirit. He lived among the tombs and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. He'd been often bound with shackles and chains, but he wrenched the chains apart and broke the shackles in pieces. Now, when you go to, I just want to make a quick apology. I don't have my ring on because I sewed it in the ocean, so please excuse me. I am married. There used to be a ring tan, but within 2 hours, it was also gone. But that's got nothing to do with a sermon. I once was rebuked for not preaching with a wedding ring. So, Andres, I am married. My ring is now in the ocean. But it's a rubber one, so don't go looking for it with one of those bleeping things. It's not. When you go to visit the grave of Grandpa in the area of the Gerasenes, and you see that man, you tell your kids, don't look. Maybe he's so shy. I don't know. Maybe he's hiding away. Maybe he's barking at the people. Ah, You don't know. He's been the scorn of an area, pressed out. Talking about someone in your mind which you think this person is unsavable. It's just not possible to redeem that person. It's just not possible. This one is too far gone. And then comes Jesus. And he steps out of a boat and the man runs to him and he falls before him. And it should give us great hope. Because a lot of us have been praying for people and we're about to give up. Family members, colleagues, maybe your boss. What we can see from Scripture is that before Jesus, number two, even notorious sinners becomes as clay. At the appointed day, the prayers have gone up, you're about to give up, and then he comes, crosses a storm, and he steps into a person's life. He stepped into my life like this. Don't give up on your prayers for those who you love. He's not only able to get there, but hearts becomes clay again. Does that inspire hope here? It should. Not to give up. Faith up, faith up. He's hearing those prayers. And they came to Jesus and saw the demon-possessed man, the one who had the legion, sitting there, clothed in his right mind. Clothed and in his right mind. So he was naked, now he had clothes on. Another reason why you should not look when you bring your kids to grandpa's grave. And they were afraid. It's funny how as soon as the man got dressed, they were afraid. But those Gerasenes, a weird area, can I say. There's nothing quite like rejection. And I've experienced it in my life. I don't think I've experienced it to the magnitude that some people have experienced it. But to literally have people running away from you, that's brutal. I mean, we give an opinion at work and people oppose it and we feel rejected. I understand that you've worked hard on that concept, on that project, or that idea. But having people literally rejecting you as a human leaves you feeling naked, without dignity. Where do I turn to? Wherever I go, it seems like people turn away. And the enemy loves, obviously, to fuel that fire and makes you feel like you're alone. But there's nothing like feeling naked with nowhere to go. And sometimes it just speaks of those areas in our lives that leaves us feeling exposed and weak, and we hope no one sees it. But we know before God, you know, nothing is hidden, right? So even those of us that's been following God for a while, it's hard to deal with sin and this feeling of being naked. And I just want to give some hope this morning. Just quickly read with me John chapter 19. When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and divided them into four parts, one part for each soldier. Also his tunic, but the tunic was seamless, woven into one piece from top to bottom. So they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it." So they took his clothes, divided it between the four, and lest you maybe think that there was other clothes he had on, there wasn't. They took the tunic and they said, "Let's not cut this thing. This thing we cast lots for as a whole," leaving him with no clothes. And it's interesting if we draw biblical lines here, because the very first effect of sin we see in the Garden of Eve is we see in Genesis 3 verse 7 that Adam and Eve were ashamed because they were naked. And they tried in a human way to cover themselves with leaves, and that's what we do. Okay? We try to cover nakedness with a new vehicle, or we try to cover nakedness with, I don't know, a hairdo. I don't know what people do. Putting on the TV. Check the scripture. Revelation. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may be rich, and white garments so that you may clothe yourselves and the shame of your nakedness. When the man literally puts on clothes, he is pointing to what Jesus does to everyone that comes to him. Get from me forgiveness that will cover your sins, and no longer will you feel in your spirit that you are naked and without dignity. Isn't that incredible? Isn't that great news? He was stripped naked, Jesus, that we might be clothed with righteousness. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. It's all about him. Every account in Scripture. Number three, the nakedness of Jesus on the cross covers my nakedness or my shame. You feel too ashamed to come to church? You've come to the right place. You've come to the one place where God can touch your heart, your spirit, and clothe you. Amen. He's here this morning. Follow me. We're taking a little bit of a detour. If the whole congregation of Israel sins unintentionally, and the thing is hidden from the eyes of the assembly, and they do any of the things that by the Lord's commandments ought not to be done, and they realize the guilt, goes on to say, and he shall carry the bull outside the camp and burn it up as he burnt the first bull. It is a sin for the offering of the assembly. So what we see with Scripture is, even in the Old Testament, we see these shadows of Christ where if someone in the community sinned, an individual, let's say you come to the priest, you said, listen, I had a horse and the horse ran over my wife. She's not dead, broke her two legs and an arm. Sorry. One man sinned. Okay, what you need to do is bring a lamb. We're going to offer the lamb and ask God to forgive you your sin, something like that. If there was a case where the whole community sinned in unison, together, they could not pay for the sin within the community, like with an individual. They had to take the offering outside. Okay? He had to carry the bull to the outside. Okay, now, where is this man living? Outside of a town. So he's being cast out. We don't want to see you here because you remind us, or you shine a terrible light on this community. Out you go to the tombs, away from us. When we have church and you come in here and other visitors come, they think bad of our church. Out to the tombs. Okay? But now, when Jesus comes, verse 6, this man runs to another man, not away. What happens? What is happening here at this moment? I will offer you at least one thing that I see in Scripture. When Jesus comes before this man, even though Jesus has not been crucified, he knows exactly how this man feels. Why? Jesus has more in common with this man than the people of a town that's living civilized lives. Because, in Hebrews 13 verse 12, Jesus also suffered outside the camp. Pushed outside on a cross. And so when he comes before this man just knows. Through the love of Jesus, that he knows that Jesus knows what he's going through right now. There's no situation in life that Christ has not experienced for you as to relate with you. None. Jesus suffered outside because the whole community sinned, the whole world. You had to die outside. And so number four, Jesus was cut off from community so that I may have community. And I'll tell you what, community is worth fighting for. Because someone died for community. So don't let small offenses push you out. It's the plan of Satan. It's just as clear as daylight. He died that we can have this and find ways to be in unity. Overcome the obstacles that comes against community. Like this man experienced. Amen. When I'm getting warm, I want to put on sunscreen, and then I realize I'm in a building. It's not going to help. Almost done. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always crying out and cutting himself with stones. And it speaks about this incredible place of knowing our sins. And it's subconsciously, people want to punish themselves. You know, you want to make it right yourselves. And we get extreme cults out there where they actually run with this idea and they lead people to hurt themselves as a way to pay for sins. But we see once again through Christ in Isaiah 53, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And by his wounds we are healed. So I can see Jesus coming to this man saying, no, 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 don't. Give me that stone. You don't have to. I'm going to do it. What I ask you is put everything you have, mind, body, soul, devotion, onto me. My cuts will count for you. You go out and tell people about this. Can you see that? Number five, the innocent wounds of Jesus redeems my guilty heart. Stop punishing yourself. Start worshiping God. He's alive. Amen? Last one. As he was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed by demons begged him that he might be with him. And he did not permit him, but said, go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. Go back to your people. Go back. I understand you have to be around a while in the faith to maybe lead a congregation or lead Bible school, but you only need one encounter to go and tell. Something happened to me this morning. Please come with me to small group or church or wherever, whatever your church offers around this country. To go out and invite takes nothing but authentic relationship with Jesus. As you grow, your responsibilities will change, of course. But it's interesting, he sends this man back to his friends, to his people. And what we see, I'm not bashing anyone, just hear my heart to make a point of a principle here, is we get groups that extracts family members out of the family to show devotion to the faith. You should be more committed to this new faith you found in this, maybe it's a house church somewhere, and this is more important than your family, whereas I think what we see from Scripture is if you are a husband and you meet with Jesus, you become a better husband. Go back to your people. If you're a wife and you meet Jesus and your husband has not met him, don't divorce him at first. Please don't. Go back. And he pushes us back into the places where we come from to make a great difference. Amen. Let us go to our people and tell them what Jesus has done for us. And if I have to summarize the story of a man that had the demons, I would say, I am that man. And this is what Christ comes and imparts to me in every area of need. It's a story of a man without community. It's a story of a man with great anguish about his sins. It's a story of a man despised by people, loved by God. It's a story of a man with no missions, no mission, no purpose. I hide there until Jesus comes and he says, now go. We are not the disciples in the story. We are the man. But isn't it incredible that Jesus has done everything and addressed every need that we have in our spirits already? The answer is a person, Jesus. And that's why this church exists, and that's why churches around this country, around the world, should exist, to point to Jesus. He is here in this place. Amen. Let us love Him and our people as we go into this next season with a great love, and not be afraid of the dirty part of our faith, which includes the repentance of sin, the reality of evil spirits, the turning of evil hearts to our God. Let's stand this morning. I'm going to pray and then give over to Andries. Father, as we gathered during this amazing time of rest, which is from you, and it is your will, 100%. I pray that we will rest. I pray that we will enjoy one another, eat together, have incredible times of enjoyment, laughter, enjoy these places of coming together that you have granted us. And from this place of rest, arm ourselves with a spiritual posture once again to go across to the other side where people are waiting to be loved, brought into community, experience deliverance, newness, love. We are able to do that. Because you said in your word, John 20:21, as the Father has sent me, so I send you.
This morning, as we are together and you've heard the God's word, and maybe you identify with the man that's been rejected by the community, or maybe even hiding from the community. Maybe you feel that your sins are so great that no one can accept you. Your sins are so great that not even God can receive you. But this morning God is saying, but I'm willing to come to where you are at. I've come to leave where I've come from, to become in your midst, to be here today with you, wherever you are, here in Hermanus. I've come all the way to meet with you today. Maybe you think it's impossible that God can forgive your sin. Maybe you think you are beyond redemption, but God is here today to redeem your life. God is here today to step out of His boat into your land, into your heart, wherever you might be. And God wants to set you free. God wants to heal you. God wants to cleanse you. God wants to clothe you with righteousness and draw Him into His family to be free, to be loved, to be accepted. And if that is you, while all the eyes are closed, if you feel you are not worthy to come into His presence, all you need to do, like this young man, is fall on your knees and say, Lord, help me. And He will respond to you. And I don't know who you are, but if you are here today and you feel far away from God, you feel you are not accepted, you are not loved, and you are rejected and nobody loves you, not even God, I want to give you an invitation to respond to this God that loves you so much, that is willing to give everything to save your life. And if that is you this morning, I just want you to respond while all the eyes are closed and just say, Lord, here I am, Lord. I want to receive this love, Lord. I want to receive this forgiveness, Lord. I want to be free, Lord. I want to be set free from the things that torments me, that labels me, that pushes me away, God. I want to receive you. If that is you this morning, I just want you to receive by just raising your hand. Say, God, this is I. Lord, I want you. Thank you for that hand. Is there anyone else? We just thank you for those hands. Is there anyone else? Thank you for those hands. You can drop those hands again. Is there anybody else who just wants to respond to Jesus? So, Lord, I want to bow my knee to you, and I want to receive the love, the forgiveness, the acceptance, the deliverance that you have come to give. Just want to give another opportunity for someone who feels they are far away from God, not accepted. Is there anybody else? Just raise your hand as you respond to Jesus. And then there's some of us here, maybe you identify with the fact that you've been rejected. You've been offended. And God is calling you back. God is calling you back to His people, back to His church, not to be separate, not to be isolated, but to come back. Not just to come back to belong, but to come back with the testimony of what God has done for you. And I believe there's some people here that has been hurt in church, and God wants to call you back. And if that is you this morning, I just want you to respond and say, God, here I am, Lord, I will go back. I will go back to my family, Lord. I go back to those who rejected me. I'll go back to my culture, Lord. I'll go back to my friends. Not to judge them, but to love them and to share what you have done for me. And maybe you are here and you're afraid. You're afraid to share what God has done for you. And you want to ask God to empower you like this man to go and share the gospel. If that is you this morning, I just want you to respond by just raising your hand. God, I want to go. I want to be seen. Thank you for those hands.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.